Eric Schacht, and I'm here with Linda Evans. We have new content available, finally. We have theater to talk about in town. It's not the kind of theater you can go and gather and witness and have that collective experience, but it's time to do the best that we can.
Right, and we have online project coming up that's kind of being sponsored locally by the Station Theater, and it's called Enough Plays to End Gun Violence, and we have two people here with us today to discuss it. One is Jackie Lowenstein, who's, I don't know, probably been on our show more than any other guest.
Right.
Oh, no.
This is kind of like Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live. I think Baldwin to you at the show. Because she has her hands and spoons and so many pots of theater around. Of course, she's the founder and
CEO
and everything of Class Act.
Not the founder. Please give Natalie Montarstelli credit for being the founder of Class Act.
Okay.
I'm the current owner and artistic director.
Owner and artistic director and president of the board of the Station Theater and actress and director. Wow, that's a long resume, Jackie.
Oh my. I suppose you could say I'm producing this current thing called Enough Plays to End Gun Violence. I was trying to figure out what my role is, and
I think it's kind of like Uber producer, because there's seven different plays. And you kind of had to take this from its origin. Not totally, because this is a nationwide effort. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about Enough and what it is and what and how you came to be aware of it?
Yeah. Honestly, I can't remember how I stumbled upon it. I'm always doing research, and I'm on some groups. Facebook groups about artists against racism and different community groups for directors and teachers. And so Enough Plays to End Gun Violence is something that's been in development for about a year, and it started with a nationwide call for teens to write plays that address issues of gun violence that are on their minds. And this is all headed by a man named Michael Cody, who's Chicago-based. And he got a team of amazing, well-known playwrights to judge the plays and choose seven winners. And this was all happening last spring. And they just decided to go forward with it, even though we're in the pandemic situation. And every theater, so there are 49, they couldn't get to 50, I guess, not yet. They have 49 theaters and schools across the country who are all working on this same play series right now. And all of them will be streaming them on December 14th, which is the 8-year remembrance day of the Sandy Hook shootings. Can't believe it's been 8 years. So that was the day they chose. This is a very busy time of year for a lot of people, but we don't get to choose when events like this happen. So we are one of 49 groups who are all kind of doing this together, all in different ways. Some, I think, are doing socially distanced live versions in safe ways and streaming that. But I think most are doing what we're doing, which is recording, pre-recording Zoom sessions, or possibly doing them as live Zooms. But we have all of our seven directors recording independently, and then we'll be able to stream that all together on the Station Theater Facebook page at 7 o'clock on December 14th.
7 o'clock standard, Eastern Standard Time?
No, Central. That's where we are.
So are there any other groups in Illinois?
There are some, not in Central Illinois that I know of. I know there's at least one in the Chicago area. The website has a really cool map with little dots and all the places where they're having readings. And there are a few that are other countries as well. But all of the information is at their website, enoughplays.com. And it's a gorgeous website that gives the whole history of the project. And ooh, they have a trailer up there now. And it's
biographies also of all these seven young, they're all young women, actually.
They are, not a single male playwright.
And these are all high school aged young women. And they've, it's hard to imagine the collective experiences that they must have to have created such powerful pieces of art. I haven't gone through all of their biographies, but I'd love to hear more from them. I think, in fact, there are interviews with them available on the website about how they came up with the content that they came up with.
Yeah, yes.
And so this was already in the works pre-COVID, is that correct?
Yes, it started about a year ago, I believe. I would need to double check. I just pulled up their map and I forgot. So the Goodman Theater in Chicago is one of their producing partners. So they have seven regional theaters, professional theaters around the country who are each doing one of the plays. And that's the high profile production that's going to be on Broadway on demand. That'll stream for a week. So I'm sure everyone involved in our production will want to take a look at that as well, just to see how they do it in these different professional theater companies. But I'm pretty excited about what we have going on here locally. This has been a really, really wonderful opportunity to involve some new talent and have some station veterans involved, certainly, but also a lot of young people and a lot of people who've never had a chance to be involved with station before. And hopefully this will not be the last time that we get to work with them.
Right, so you put a station and you put a call out for people interested in being involved either as actors or directors, and the response was fantastic. And I think that is somewhat in part to just the hunger that performers and directors have to do what they love to do again. But then that it also seemed as though you were kind of targeting new people, new demographics, and trying to follow up on kind of other mission statements and initiatives going on in the local theater community to involve groups that have been not involved previously.
Definitely. We had just had our BIPOC conversation and our town hall in the fall, and it became really clear through that and discussion with our community that reaching out to the underrepresented communities is absolutely what we want to be doing now. And so the timing of this project, and for it to be about a subject that is pretty universally strong in terms of people feeling passionate about the issue of gun violence and artists wanting to use this platform to try to make a difference and raise awareness and hear these young voices. And the young people who are involved in the shows, mostly high school and middle school age. There are definitely some college and adults as well, but I think it's probably been a pretty intense and interesting kind of opportunity for them to work on some fairly heavy material, some of it. Leslie can speak more to that one.
Right. We also have with us too. Thank you for being here. And you're one of the directors. And do you want to talk a little bit about the play that you're directing?
Yeah. The play that I'm directing is called Together. And it's about some high school graduation students on graduation day, reminiscing about being friends from fourth grade, teasing each other, and they're actually at a graduation party outside.
What was your motivation in creating the group Black Voices Theater, and when did you do that?
I actually started last year. The idea behind it was that I wanted to help my community, and so gun violence was prevalent here, more than in past years. And so I thought of my background and how it helped me be able to express myself in a healthier way. It was like a coping skill. They were coping, like coping skills. And so my thought was, okay, we're asking them to put the guns down, but we need to replace that with something. And so why not place it with something positive? And so I thought using the cultural arts as a platform would be a step forward in healing our community. It's not like a catch-all program. I hope to collaborate and have collaborated with other people to collectively, you know, kind of use different programming and activities to try to help alleviate the violence.
What sort of projects has Black Voices Theater done before now?
Well, we were in the middle of a series called Can You Hear Me Now? Black Voices started out as supposed to be a one-day production with a soft opening and some workshops and some tours through Cranor and things like that. But because of COVID, kind of shut us down actually until like the summer. And so I came up with so I broke it up, right? And so I came up with Can You Now series. And so the first part was, like I said, the poetry contest. Then we had the music concert, Black Instant Music, and we were supposed to do Dancing from the Soul in November. However, the COVID numbers surged, and because we were doing it in person at the IMC, I decided that I would just continue all programming and activities until the first of the year and see where we were at with COVID. And but then I had this opportunity to work with Ms. Jacqueline, and so I jumped right in there.
And thank you for doing that.
Yeah, appreciate it. So are the people who are cast in Together, are they kids that you've worked with before?
Some of them are the kids that were in my poetry contest, yes. I did some, when I was younger, teach creative writing through Grant Consortium of the Cultural Arts, Kumba of the Cultural Arts, that's a long, long time ago, CETA, and at St. Mary's School in Urbana. And they went on to the state fair and performed there. Now I'm just kind of waiting to see when we can pick up and start again. This was kind of like breaking the ice for me using the Zoom. I do a lot of Zoom meetings, but that, you know, I'm an on hands person. And so I didn't think that it was, in my mind's eye, I didn't think that Zoom would give me the vision to have the performers do Zoom. But this shows me that it can be done. So programming may pick up at any time now.
Right, that's nice, that's
great. We were live streaming all those, we were live streaming those shows, and it was a four-part series. And like I said, it was Dancing, the next one was Dancing from the Soul. And then of course you can't have a series without Gospel in the Hood. That was a part of it. But there were some other activities and things. I wanted to do a poetry club and some other things as well. So with this Zoom and breaking the ice and seeing that it can be done.
What, how have you so far like grown the Black Voices Theater? How have you let kind of like spread awareness that it exists and gotten people involved? What has been your outreach?
We started with sign up drives. We were with Hood Vote Neighborhood Transformation during the summer while they were doing the peace rallies in the park. Mm-hmm. And the different parks. And so I had a sign up drive to get people to become involved. I have flyers. Of course, we're doing social media, word of mouth, and just people just networking and connecting me with other people.
Okay, and if any listeners are interested in finding out more about Black Voices Theater, what's the best way for them to do so?
We have a Facebook page, Black Voices Theater Production. We have a Instagram page, Black Voices Theater 58. And then also we can be contacted by blackvoices58@gmail.com.
So how far along are you with the particular play that you're directing for Enough?
Actually, we're supposed to be recording this week. So we're like at the end. We're just fine tuning some things, but they're pretty much ready to go for recording. Great.
So do you think, you said that this has kind of broken the ice for you to do Zoom things. How is directing over Zoom different for you than directing in person?
Actually, it's really not different. It's really not different. I'm able to see the expressions. I'm able to, you know, kind of give a little suggestions on maybe how to do, you know, say certain words a certain way, or I'm able to do whatever I could do on stage live. Great. So I'm really happy about that. And that's very encouraging to me to be able to move forward with Black Voices Theater Production.
Have you, one of the things I'm curious about with stage readings is how much you're asking the actors to actually act and emote. Are you having any particular costumes or wardrobe or giving any direction about how you want them to appear with anything else style-wise, with hair, with makeup, et cetera?
There are some stage directions for that. However, we are not going to be so concerned about the hair, and that's basically because they've revised it a couple times, and so they kind of got it to the bare minimum. We have asked our cast members to wear clothing that is dark because we're supposed to have a green background. And so that's what we're working on right now, the background, because everybody's home environment is background is may not be appropriate, right? And so we found a common ground with having the screen background for everybody. Other than that, that's about all we ask as far as, well, a few props that they can use while sitting.
And is there going to be any effort to memorize, do you think, by the actors, or is it going to be script in front reading the whole time?
It's script in front reading, but a lot of them have memorized their lines anyway. So yeah, for the most part, it's a reading, so they don't have to memorize it. But they've done it enough that they basically know their lines, you know.
Yeah. So Jackie, with these seven directors and seven different shows, is there any sort of like universal direction that you've striven for consistency in the sorts of things that Leslie was just talking about use of props or costumes, or is every director on their own in these areas?
I think everyone's going for simplicity and focusing on telling the story as clearly as we can in this sort of venue. While Leslie may be using green screens, I think most people are just using, you know, a neutral background or, you know, just something, whatever people have at home to suggest their setting, or just, you know, to not have any distractions if possible. If it were a typical reading, we would just be on the stage in the theater, sitting in chairs or standing at music stands, and everything would be left to the audience's imagination. And so I think we have a lot of leeway to do that, and trust that whoever tunes in to watch this on Facebook Live on December 14th at 7 o'clock on the station theater page will use their imagination and, you know, climb in and enjoy hearing these words. Well, enjoy in the way that you appreciate.
Hard to say enjoy when the topic is such a tough topic.
Yeah.
Again, you're listening to WFT, See You at the Show, and we're talking with Jackie Lowenstein and Leslie Smith about Enough, ways to end gun violence. And Jackie, so one of the things that we're trying to do at the station is be more inclusive for everyone. And one of those things is adding closed captioning. So when the plays are streamed, we'll have closed captioning as well, correct?
That's the plan, yeah.
And yep. So that's one of the things that we're trying really hard at the station to be better about. And how long will the shows be in total, or roughly? I know they're not all done yet.
Each one is about 10 minutes or about 8 to 10 minutes. So, I'm guessing about an hour total of plays, hour, a little bit more.
And then after, there's going to be discussion?
Yeah, so we'll have a Zoom link posted to the Facebook page where we hope everyone who watches the plays will pop over and log into a Zoom post-show discussion. And I believe Latrell Bright is going to lead that for us. And it will be to discuss the plays and also about the unique issues in our own community and really see how we can rally and, not only do these plays, but get more involvement and see what we can do as a community. I'll be visiting the Meeting for Moms Demand Action, which is a local gun violence group that has a meeting. Well, by the time this airs, they will have met. But, I'm hoping that we will have some people from that group who attend and are able to speak to everyone and educate us more on what is being done, what needs to be done, and, how we can really bring people together who maybe have never realized they had this common ground and interest. So this is going to be an annual thing, I believe. I think this national play reading contest, they hope, will continue. So chances are we'll continue to be involved with it. I see no reason not to.
And it's free to watch our streaming of it, there's probably going to be a donation button or a way for people to.
Yeah, part of the plan from the national producer is to support gun violence advocacy groups or individuals in our community who need support or victims of gun violence. So we will be providing some resources for how people can definitely make a difference with their dollars if they are so inclined.
Right, or get involved if they can't
support. Definitely.
Which is great. And I know this is that you mentioned that there are middle schoolers and high schoolers involved, but is there an age, like a young person?
Yeah, I would say 12 is the youngest person we have involved in these. There is some language in some of the plays, mild, and we've cut it out of some of them. I think it's really probably like a PG-13 sort of experience.
Right. Yeah.
Some of the material is tougher. There will be a trigger warning that I need to post beforehand. And, there may be some plays that are more sensitive than others.
But there's not going to be, visually, there's not going to be anything that would be hard to watch, like no gore or anything like that.
Right.
Are there any actual guns as props in any of the plays?
Yes.
That are being used?
The sound? You mean the sound effect?
Well, I guess that's a double question then. There's the sound effect of weapons, and then there's also the whether or not anyone's going to be handling weapons visually.
Oh, no, I don't know. Check
with that. There's one play that revolves heavily around that, and I do need to check in with that director and see, but I would guess because it's a reading, we're not going to have props like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I know that looking at the enoughplays.com website, there's an extensive tab about how one can get involved from actually becoming part of the the initiative as a student from grades 6 through 12, where it looks like you can, that would be the mechanism if somebody has a story to tell and wants to write and submit a play for the next year. And then there are also ways to get involved to support this, to donate. And again, that website is enoughplays.com, and we're going to have that on the CU at the Show Facebook page. We will also have direct links to the show itself, which will be airing on December 14th at 7 p.m. And this is going to be on the station's YouTube page. Is that what you said, Jackie?
No, Facebook. Okay.
And once ours airs, it's gone.
Correct. This is a one time only. We are required to banish it once it's shown. It's one streaming. That's part of our licensing agreement. And that's what we will do. So one chance to see it. And it's a very diverse group of talent also, which is another mission of the Station Theater moving forward. And it's been wonderful to see new faces, brown and black faces that we are not so accustomed to seeing so many of in our productions. And that's another exciting aspect of this.
Right.
And as the station, we're going to have some things coming down in a couple months too, right? This isn't the last thing to see from the station.
Of course, there will always be more.
Right.
Wait for it.
Have some things in the works possibly for February.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens before then. I know this has been like a huge undertaking for all of you and a really short amount of time to get these done. And I applaud you guys for putting all this work and effort into it and really appreciate everyone who's involved and can't wait to see the shows. And I hope to see everyone who's involved get involved in the future too, in the station and other theater groups in town. I think this is, it's wonderful that you took this project on, Jackie. And
thanks.
You have a lot of other stuff going on with Class Act. And I appreciate you both taking time to talk to us today too, even with all of our technical difficulties.
And Leslie, it's really been a treat to get to know you, and please consider See You at the Show to be a friend of Black Voices Theater. Ever since, you know, this summer when the Black Lives Matter movement was really at a critical juncture, we turned over our show several weeks in a row, I think for an entire month, to our Black colleagues who had things that they needed to say and hopes that they needed to express and frustrations they needed to voice. And so if there's ever anything that you either want to get the word out about, or if you ever wanted to just do a show sometime where you hosted it and had some of your people on just to talk about it, we understand that Black voices in our community and in theater generally have been largely underrepresented. And anytime we can set ourselves and our goals aside for a greater good, we are happy to do that. So please reach out to us.
Thank you so much. I also want to thank Jackie as well for providing this platform for the underrepresented. I think it's very awesome that she's extended her programming to be more inclusive.
Well, Jackie's leadership is inspiring to all of us, and the Station Theater is very, very lucky in the community is to have all of her energy and efforts put into this sort of thing. We love you, Jackie.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on See You at the Show, and tune in next week when we will have more new content exploring other things going on in our local theater.
We're already community. Making that commitment to new content.
There is, I love that. Yes.
Good for you. Our shows are always archived. So if you missed a show, you can always go back and listen. Or if you just want to re-listen to something that you really enjoyed, we'll give a link on our Facebook page for that too. Thank you guys.
Thank you for joining us on See You at the Show. And we'll see you at the Zoom, I guess. But it's close enough.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You are listening.